My story started last spring when I was sitting in the living room of Devon and her lovely husband, Craig, who invited a group of folks to explore Buddhist sanghas and the culture of Buddhist sanghas that seemed to keep them all white. One of the things I noticed when I first came to their home was that there were certain cultural expectations. Remember this? Yes, I was to take my shoes off at the door, and we were to have tea ahead of time, so be sure to arrive 20 minutes early. And then we will start pretty much at the top of the hour, and then we proceed from there. There was quite a bit of, I felt like I was loud, let's put it that way. And I was supposed to be, I felt I was supposed to stay in control and in my box. And as I was sitting there learning that Sangha meant congregation and Dharma meant teachings, I think I have that right, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be great to look at Unitarian Universalism and the cultural expectations that we have here. What is expected of us when we come to service? Allison said, what does this mean? That's that's sign language for applause.
Oh, okay.
But without creating sound to interrupt the beautiful music you provided. So it's an appreciation. But that's a cultural thing that we don't teach except through experience. And how is this welcoming or not welcoming when we have these types of cultural understandings amongst us? So I said, what if, Devon, what if we did this together? What if we explored racial justice and white supremacy culture as Buddhists and Unitarians together? And she said, what if? What if we did that? And so we started saying what if to other folks in the community. And we said, what are you interested in? What do you want to learn about? And I was very committed to approaching this conversation on racial justice from a place of compassion, from a place where we weren't judging where we are. We aren't judging that foot in the mouth or that anger that rises up, that we are noticing and holding kindness in our feet and in our hearts and in our knees, holding kindness on our bodies as we explore these hard-to-explore topics. And we have been sharing stories with each other since September. One of the things we've done, instead of having 9 weeks in a row of back-to-back classes and readings and conversation, and blah, 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 is to spread it out as a way of trying to integrate it into our life. And we also invited people to have a study buddy. So if we met on the first Monday of the 1 month and the first Monday of the next month, there's a lot of time to be curiously wondering about this reading, or about this election, or about this third anniversary of Tony Robinson's death. There's things we need to process, not always alone. So we invited people to come together and talk with each other. So Dana and Sabe were study buddies, Julie and Beth were study buddies. And thank you for your role in this time and space today. So we've had that quite an experience. Quite a lot has gone on. And so we have stories to share. And Chris has a story she wants to share, having been in the class.
Thanks, Karin.
My journey into deeper understanding of what's happening and happened with race in America probably started about 2010 when The New Jim Crow was published, and it was followed not long afterwards by The Warmth of Other Suns, both books that I really recommend in learning more about where we've been and where we are now. And yet, my story begins with my understanding of what to be a racist meant as I was growing up, and what my understanding of race in our country was. And the story that I was told was that, you know, these horrible things had happened, racism and Jim Crow, and then the struggles of the civil rights movement had fixed a lot of that. The struggle was in the past, and although things weren't perfect yet, we were, it was more a matter of tweaking, and that racism was something that was perpetuated by really mean-spirited, closed-minded individuals. And I would have thought, if someone had asked me, are you an anti-racist family? I would have thought, yes, we are. We believe in the equality of people, of treating everybody fairly. But since I started reading more, and then through the experience of this wonderful class that we've had since last September, looking at my story and learning more, what I've realized is the extent to which I was raised in the soup of institutional racism in our country. My father grew up in a very poor family. He had 7 brothers and sisters. His father was mentally ill and seemed to return home long enough to impregnate his mother again. They often lived in damp, dark basements, and he was pretty haunted by the smell of urine-soaked mattresses and rats scampering around the middle of the night when he tried to sleep. They often went hungry, and things were pretty chaotic. So he left home as soon as he could when he was 17. He joined the Army. I mean, not the Army, the Navy. And he had an interest in religion and was fortunate enough to be taken under the wing of some chaplains there that encouraged him to finish his GED and to go back to school. And he finished his GED in the Army, in the Navy, and then he graduated and went to college, and he worked nights to work his way through college. And then he went to seminary, and my mom worked nights, despite having both my brother and I during that time. And the story I learned there was one of how their hard work and had raised them above the circumstances of my father's childhood. There was acknowledgement that things were not fair, but I think this inhibited me in some time in understanding when people use the words white privilege, exactly what that meant. Because although I could see the kind of abstract ways that I benefit from white privilege, that I'm not followed when I walk into a store, that people tend to assume that because my skin is this color, that I'm intelligent and that I can speak good English. I benefit from all these assumptions, but I didn't really see how I benefited from the institutional racism in our country. And I was only just beginning to see the layers of it. Until in reading, you know, my family came here long after after the time period of slavery. So I was not aware of any direct descendants who would have benefited from slavery or from that time in our country. But as we read Waking Up White, we got to a chapter about the GI Bill and federal housing and how less than 5% of African Americans who came back from serving in our army in the wars were able to take advantage of those ways that many in the white middle class have gotten to raise their standard of living through homes that have mortgages and equity and through education. Something inside me clicked, and I called and asked my mom, my father's no longer living, whether the GI Bill had helped my father go to college after he left the Navy. Well, sure enough. I mean, it's true, he still had to work nights, but he benefited from the GI Bill. And the first home that my parents bought, that mortgage was guaranteed. And I don't know the full extent of the subsidies that we got, but I know that that home ownership benefited from the fact that my father was white. I find this process of learning about our country and the layers, the extent to which when we say institutional racism, it really is so much more than what one person's prejudices are. That really, I mean, it's an issue, and we see more than ever after this last election what an issue it is. But what I've learned is how important to see the ways in which our institutions are perpetuating the quality of life for people of color versus white folks. And it's just incredibly eye-opening. When I was grabbing a t-shirt this morning or something to wear, you know, I saw my Black Lives Matter shirt and I hesitated about whether to wear it or not. And the reason I chose to wear it today is that it just the reminder of the humility that I need to have and keep an awareness of what I don't know and what there is to learn and how much work there is to do to take the blinders away from my own eyes and to share that information with other white people. So thank you. I don't know if I probably went on for too long.
Thank you for your stories, Chris. We know that through exploration we are transformed, and through connections with one another and with ourselves, we are transformed. I invite you into that conversation of what is your spiritual practice and how does it relate to your racial awareness. And sometimes I even like to say, what is my racial practice and how does that relate to my spiritual awareness? May we be fed with these thoughts to nurture us in the days and months ahead.